You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Athletic.
Hi Reds, James Pearce here, just finishing up at the Emirates Stadium where it finished Arsenal 3, Liverpool 1. Coming up, we'll bring you all the post-match reaction that you need. We'll hear the best bits from Jurgen Klopp's press conference and my colleague Mark Carey will drop by to give his take on this afternoon's proceedings.
Van Dijk let it bounce, Martinelli showed an interest.
So it was a really disappointing afternoon for Liverpool in the capital. They could have gone 8 points clear of Arsenal with victory here today. Instead, it's a first defeat in the Premier League since September, the end of that 15-game unbeaten run in the top flight. It means that lead at the top down to just 2 points. And of course, Man City now 5 points adrift, but with two games in hand. So yeah, a tough one to take, although I think everyone would have to admit that Liverpool got what they deserved today. They didn't deserve to take back to Merseyside anything from that game. And it was a real rarity, really. They've been so consistent for so long this season. I think, what was that, game number 36, I think, in all competitions? And when you think that's just a fourth defeat, and two of those defeats were, you know, kind of irrelevant in the grand scheme of things, away to Toulouse and Union in the Europa League group stage with much changed lineups, and then even the other one at Tottenham in September, of course, you know, that was a big part of that was the VAR shambles when Luis Diaz's goal was wrongly disallowed. So this is the first time this season that Liverpool have actually lost a game that really meant something, and lost a game that really meant something through their own faults, because they couldn't blame anyone else. Yes, of course, there were some frustrating moments and you're left scratching your head at some of Anthony Taylor's decisions, not least that one late on when Gabriel wrestled Darwin Nunez to the ground, not even a free kick given, and then just to add insult to injury, Nunez gets a yellow card for dissent. There were other moments when Konate getting two yellows and getting his marching orders late on when, you know, there were similar challenges at the other end of the pitch that weren't punished. But, you know, let's be honest, over the course of the proceedings, Liverpool didn't deserve anything. You look at the stats, just one shot on target to Arsenal 7. Arsenal won it on XG 3.5 to 0.4. Possessions won in the final third just once from Liverpool all afternoon, which is so out of keeping from what we've seen from them. And they, I just thought they were off it in all departments today. I think, you know, there's a number of reasons for that. I think the absence of key personnel is one. So Szoboszlai, who felt some pain in his hamstring, certainly you'd say he was a big miss. I thought McAllister looked tired, having played an awful lot recently. Of course, Conor Bradley was absent following the tragic passing of his father on Saturday. Of course, he was missed as well. And you know, this is Liverpool without their top goal scorer in Mohamed Salah, and Wataru Endo on his way back from the Asia Cup. So it was, you know, that is part of it. I think, you know, the lack of energy, the lack of spark was another, and also just key personnel having an off day, and we haven't been able to say that very often this season, have we? I think, how do you even begin to try and explain Arsenal's second goal, which is just a simple punt over the top? Van Dijk has to deal with it. He thinks Alisson's going to deal with it. Alisson gets it all badly wrong, and they're both embarrassed as Martinelli's able to roll the ball into the empty net. So you can't legislate for things like that. And it was even going back to the start of the game, there were parallels with last month's FA Cup tie in terms of Liverpool being slow out the blocks, being on the back foot, Arsenal taking the initiative. Of course, the difference in the FA Cup tie was that Liverpool weathered that storm and got better. This time around, they paid the price when Alisson made a decent save, which deny Havertz, but the rebound dropped to Saka, who tucked it away. And Liverpool rode their luck a bit. They could easily have conceded a second. And then I think the frustrating thing is, when Liverpool got that gift of an equaliser just before half-time, you thought, wow, that should be the perfect trigger for the second half, because it was an absolute shambles with Gabriel knocking the ball into his own net. Liverpool were level at half-time despite not having had a single shot on target. But the second half, although there were some initial bright signs, they just didn't sustain it. And I think it was also one of those rare times this season when Klopp's substitutions didn't actually help them. If anything, they hindered them. I think taking off Alexander-Arnold didn't help them in terms of like missing out on that creativity. It was Alexander-Arnold went off at the same time as Gravenberch and Gagbo, but Harvey Elliott and Darwin Nunez, neither of those players or Andy Robertson could really influence it much going forward. And then of course after that, the kind of calamity of a mix-up between Van Dijk and Alisson, you could sense that it gave Arsenal such a lift. And then of course once Konate goes off late on for a second yellow, the game is up, and then Trossard's able to rub salt into some pretty gaping wounds deep into stoppage time after a little touch off Van Dijk, his shot nutmegging Alisson. So I think Liverpool will benefit from having a full week now to rest and recover, to analyse and prepare for that visit of Burnley to Anfield next Saturday. And I think the biggest thing will be not to overreact, because this is a team that have been unbelievably good week after week after week and have dealt with so much misfortune that's come their way throughout the season in terms of hurdling those challenges. But for the first time this season, really, they didn't perform. They didn't come anywhere close to the standards we've come to expect, and they couldn't salvage it, unlike other times this season when they've been able to dig deep and pull a rabbit out of the hat. So a bad day for Liverpool in the capital, but in the grand scheme of things, there's still an awful long way to go in this title race. Well, first up in his press conference, Jurgen Klopp was asked what exactly in his mind had gone wrong for Liverpool here today.
From the start, it didn't really look like our day, but I think we could have turned it into our day, maybe. Second half, the start was really good. So it's, again, just a proof, evidence, whatever you want, what momentum makes. So first half, we found step by step. Arsenal started better, so that's clear. We didn't play enough football. We need to get used a little bit to each other, like right side triangle. It was a bit tricky to find. Let me say like that, from the first start, always when Maka and Curtis were on the ball and could turn out of and could get out of this man-marking situation, and the pitch was really open for us, there we could have found Trent one or two times. More often, I would say, that would have caused them even more problems. And actually, second half, we were there. We now we understood how the game goes. We had now the momentum, obviously, after the late equaliser, first half. Yeah, then we conceded the second goal, and it was a very strange goal. I always spoke in the dressing room with all people involved. And yeah, it's just unlucky. Can you head the ball directly? Yes, but it flies strange. Then should you expect that Martinelli brings the body a little bit? Yes, but we didn't. And then all of a sudden, poof, the ball rolls there and he has an easy goal. So that doesn't happen very often, will not happen very often, but it happened before and can happen. And then made the job obviously a bit more tricky. We made changes as well then around that time. Trent was never planned that he plays 90. It was clear that we have to take him off a bit earlier, stuff like this. And so brought on Darwin and Harvey and these kind of things. So that all could have worked. But then with the 2-1 is obviously not great. Momentum now changed completely again. Stadium was there. Still kind of an open game with not a lot from us. And then we had a red card, and that was then obviously made it really tricky to come back. But Arsenal deserves the 3 points, no doubt about that. They scored 3 and we had 1 shot on target. So that's obviously the ones that probably shows the most. We should have had more of that. We could have had more of that. But because of the story of the game, it didn't happen.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Walk On, your dedicated Liverpool podcast from The Athletic.
Well, next, the conversation turned to comments Klopp made after that midweek victory over Chelsea, when he said that, you know, there was a lot of tired limbs in the dressing room, having exerted so much energy. And he was asked whether he thought that tiredness was a factor in Liverpool producing such a substandard performance against Arsenal today.
I understand 100% where you're coming from and stuff like this. I have to make a lineup. Would I make the same lineup again? Yes. That's actually the only thing how I can judge it. After seeing the game, maybe not, but without seeing the game, I would do it the same as away. And we had, that was just, Dom couldn't start, out injured actually. Yes, we had to make another change as well. And these kind of things, that's all normal. So it's not about that. But if you want to make the lineup for it, but with these boys, we can play much better football. And that's actually the one thing we take. But it's that we want to and have to play better football, and we will. But for today, again, it's a kind of a strange one, because yes, they started well, but that's what you should expect. So home game, Arsenal, we beat them here a few weeks ago in the FA Cup. Actually, the first half in the FA Cup was a similar first half. They had more chances in that game than today, but then we didn't concede. That is obviously a big difference. Could we have defended the first goal better? Oh yeah, definitely, 100%. But that's how it is, and they probably deserved the goal with the game they played. But you stay in the game, and 1-0 is now really not a result where you should think white flag and go home. So we get that pressing for the second goal. We forced it for our first goal. And then, how I said, the start of the second half, we will never know how it would have been if we don't concede the goal. But our two main guns have a misunderstanding. So, and that just shows, I said now a couple of times, that they're human beings. And that actually makes the things they usually do even more special, because sometimes you forget that they are humans as well. So for today, they are not happy, we are not happy, boys are not happy, we are not happy, 100%. But that's it now. I don't have to make more of a game. If you play away game with Arsenal, you can play super here and lose. Would have loved to see that, but it's still possible. And that's why, yeah, take it, deal with it, go from here.
Well, Klopp was also asked about the Premier League title race. Of course, Liverpool's lead now down to 2 points, and then there's Manchester City just 5 points adrift now with 2 games in hand. That game at Anfield against Manchester City in March is going to be absolutely huge. So here's Klopp on how he now views the title race. Now, City mathematically could go top if they win those games in hand.
Look, if you want to find a specialist who becomes champion in England, I'm probably not the right person to ask, because most of the time we finish second. So I'm sorry to say that, but you have to win football games. I know that, and as many as you can. And this today would have been a great one, but I was said, if you only can become chairman, if you don't lose any football games, that makes life really tricky. I didn't, since the final whistle, I didn't think a second about the amount of games of Manchester City and who they will play and how they will play, not for a second. So we have to play to our potential. We have to deal with difficulties in the game, around the games, and play our soul on the pitch if you want. And we have, we'll see where it ends up. There's no guarantee for nothing. But I didn't become nervous now because of two games in hand for City. Yes, we always expect City to win all the football games, to be 100% honest. But we don't even have to look that, watch them. In the end, even when they're 1-0 down and it's 3-1 or whatever, so it's always like, it's all fine. For us, nothing really changed. We would have loved to win here, get a point, whatever. Actually, we wanted to win here. But for the whole 90 minutes, we were not good enough. So we had our phases and we developed into the game. That's good. And if we could have kept that going without all the other circumstances, then, yeah, that game could have looked different, definitely. Then we should still sit here and say Arsenal had a better start in the game, but then we were there. But now we have just to congratulate Arsenal for the 3 points.
Well, Liverpool had gone 15 top-flight matches unbeaten, going back to that controversial defeat at Tottenham in September prior to this defeat at the hands of Arsenal. And Klopp was asked about the challenge of embarking upon another unbeaten run.
That's actually the idea, but we didn't want to stop the run here, but it's we didn't lose now recently an awful lot of football games. We know that. That means dealing with defeats is a challenge for humankind, actually. And yeah, we have it now a rather longer week. I think we play on Saturday, so we will use that for rest. We will use that for training. And we'll be properly prepared for the next game. And nobody expect here in this, in our dressing room at least, that we just will fly over Burnley or whatever. They fight for their targets. They have a really talented group. Unlucky in moments, stuff like this. But it's a home game. And we can turn things around, making the first step. And then we will see. Today, nobody celebrates the champion and nobody is relegated, as far as I know. So we have all the chance to create our own destiny. Let's see what happens.
And finally, before Klopp headed for home, he was asked, would he just view this as a bad day at the office and move on? Or was it something he really needed to examine and analyse to get to the bottom of as Liverpool looked to put things right against Burnley next weekend?
I don't go just over it, but I spoke to the boys already. So we want to play better football, number one. So are you allowed to win average football games? Yes, absolutely. That's fine. But for today, it didn't happen. Today pretty much everything went against us. So, yes, we score more or less their goal. They scored our goal, but we scored their goal. So maybe that equals the thing. And then we got a red card. They didn't get a red card. And there were some situations that could have been different. But even without a red card, then we lose 2-1. So, what's that? It makes no difference. But it would have looked different, 10-10, being 2-1 down, a bit longer with 11-11, that could really have looked different, but it's done. Nobody has to care. I don't care about it anymore, so it's just okay. Not a great day for us. Yes, a bad day in the office, definitely, but not just a bad day in the office, and we have to make sure we don't have them anymore.
For the latest subscription offers, head to theathletic.com/LiverpoolPod.
Hello, Mark Carey here, data analyst for The Athletic. Yeah, reflecting on Liverpool's 3-1 loss to Arsenal at the Emirates. And yeah, it was a game that I think it's fair to say Liverpool didn't deserve to win on balance. And to be fair, that's something that you haven't been able to say very often about Liverpool this season, which I suppose is something of a positive. And yeah, whether that was down to some of the changes in the starting lineup or simply the fact that they were playing an away game against a quality side like Arsenal, I think, yeah, Liverpool weren't at their best in or out of possession. And I guess, yeah, if you look at it tactically, I think Arsenal's use of a box midfield did make it difficult for Ibrahima Konate and Virgil van Dijk in defence at times. But I think largely it was that Liverpool lost the midfield battle. And I thought Ryan Gravenberch in particular looked like he was struggling to really get a foothold in the game, and the numbers back that up to a certain extent in terms of his involvement in the game. He only managed 24 touches before being taken off on the hour mark, with only Cody Gakpo having fewer touches among Liverpool's starting 11 in that time. So it shows that he wasn't really in the game. But I thought in terms of Liverpool's build-up as well, I thought it was interesting to see that Joe Gomez was the one who continued to come inside in Liverpool's build-up from the back, which he's been doing in recent games. But I think, you know, the fact that Trent Alexander-Arnold was back in the side, we thought it might be him to come inside, as he's been doing so well for most of this season. But instead, it was Trent who seemed to be staying high and wide and be more of a creative threat on that right-hand side, which was seemed to be what Klopp said after the game, looked to be because he was trying to have a bit more of a creative threat in the absence of Mo Salah, obviously not being on that side and needing more of a spark on that flank without the typical rotations that you have between fullback and central midfielder and right winger, obviously typically Salah. But I think it meant that Liverpool didn't really build through the thirds quite as well as they maybe could have with having Gomez inside, and they actually struggled to get the ball out to Alexander-Arnold, you know, at all really in the game. There's a few occasions in the first half, so it sort of defeated the object to do that if you can't get your most creative player on the ball. But you know, thinking about it defensively as well, I think Trent being quite high up the pitch meant that Arsenal did target that space on his side, and the numbers back that up. So 37% of Arsenal's attacking touches, so touches in the opposition half, came down Arsenal's left, so Liverpool's right-hand side across the three-thirds in that first half, which was the majority share. So they quite clearly targeted Liverpool's right-hand side, as I say, in particular in that first half. And I thought out of possession as well, Liverpool were nowhere near as impressive in closing Arsenal down, and they weren't able to press as high as they normally do, and the numbers show that really neatly as well. So Liverpool only managed to win possession in the attacking third once all game, which was their lowest in the Premier League this season. And I think that's particularly pertinent given that only on Wednesday, their 13 high regains against Chelsea was the most in the Premier League all season. So quite the contrast within just the space of a few days. And I don't know whether maybe the quick turnaround maybe played into that. But yeah, Liverpool not their best in or out of possession. But yeah, I think it's fair to say that they just didn't get going really across the whole game, and they barely threatened Arsenal's goal. And I think it was quite clear to see that was one of the key headlines from the game, especially in that first half where they had no shots on target but were lucky to have nicked a goal sort of late in that first half to equalise. But yeah, across the whole game they only had one shot on target, so that was quite telling. And you know, the only other time that they've done that this season, the only other time that's happened was on the opening day of the season against Chelsea in their 1-1 draw in the Premier League. So not too good when you look at the numbers in that regard. And maybe digging a little bit deeper, looking at their expected goals, it was just 0.4 across the whole game for Liverpool compared to Arsenal's 3.5. And that 3.5 conceded for Liverpool is the highest they faced in a Premier League game on record per Opta's numbers. So again, quite telling in itself. And you know, just simply looking at the numbers in both boxes, it would suggest that the result was fair overall. But in terms of the performance, I think Liverpool did pick up a little bit in the second half, but the obvious turning point was that error between Alisson and Virgil van Dijk for Martinelli's goal to put Arsenal 2-1 up. And I think it's quite interesting to look at the numbers on this as well. So that was the fifth error leading to a goal now for Liverpool in the Premier League, and only Brighton and Sheffield United have had more across all teams this season. And you know, you could put that down to a bit of bad luck at times of being punished for some errors where maybe other teams wouldn't, but I think Liverpool do ride their luck at times with some of their risky play building out from the back where it maybe hasn't gone punished. So yeah, this time it was obviously an uncharacteristic mistake from Virgil van Dijk, but just one to look out for there in terms of those errors leading to goals, even though those statistics might be sometimes a little bit skewed. But yeah, overall a day to forget for Liverpool, but I think it is worth remembering that this is Liverpool's first defeat since September, and they've only lost two of their last 34 Premier League games. So you know, they've won 22 and drawn 10 in that time. So obviously no real need to panic. I suppose the only other positive for Liverpool fans was the sight of Thiago Alcantara returning to the pitch after such a long injury absence. And I'll leave you with this nice stat as well. So Thiago's last start for Liverpool came on the 4th of February 2023, and exactly 1 year later he returns to the Liverpool squad and obviously came on. So I think he'll be hoping to get back to full fitness and continue Liverpool's charge to battle on four fronts.
So that's it from us here at the Emirates. For plenty more match reaction and analysis, check out The Athletic. I'll be back alongside Tony and the rest of the team for Wednesday's Walk On podcast. Thanks for joining me. I'll catch you then.
The Athletic.